The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Episode 389 is episode 215, Creativity Over Consumerism, with Miranda Anderson.
Welcome to the Frugal Friends Podcast, where you'll learn to save money, embrace simplicity, and live a richer life. Here are your hosts, Jen and Jill.
Welcome to Frugal Friends Podcast. My name is Jen.
My name is Jill.
And today we are resharing one of our favorite episodes that we did with Miranda Anderson.
This was so long ago, but it still stands up. It's why we do these rerun episodes, because we know you all are not going back into our backlog searching through our archives for this gem. So we're bringing it to your attention again, because Miranda had some incredible nuggets of wisdom, like true takeaways that have lasted me these past couple of years.
Absolutely. So for those who don't know, Miranda Anderson and her family did a 12-month no shopping challenge, which we don't necessarily recommend for everyone, but for the select few who can do it, it does offer a lot of insight. And something we always, you know, preach about is how frugality inspires creativity and gives space for creativity. So that's why we loved this episode.
But first, this episode is brought to you by Spring Break. Schools close down and students turn up.
Utes.
Our lovely city of St. Pete is one of the most prime destinations for the college kids. But all you families with kids, just trying to enjoy a fun, relaxing break. It's good to remember not to merge the babies with the drunken 20-somethings. Something else that's good to remember is your old 401k. If you ever left a job, it's highly likely you left behind a retirement investment account just sitting there. Let Capitalize help you find an old 401k and roll it over to an Roth IRA or an IRA of your choice. They do that for free. frugalfriendspodcast.com/capitalize. Do that on your spring break.
Yes. Jill, did you know the movie Spring Break was filmed in St. Petersburg?
Yes, but I also thought like the MTV, any kind of reality stuff about spring break was here.
Probably.
Am I merging the two?
Maybe. I don't know. I just remember when I was young, Selena Gomez was here.
Whoa.
Filming for it. I never watched it though, because I experience it in real life. And I, yeah, don't let a drunken 20-something hold your baby. That's just great. That's life advice. So if you are interested in how frugality fosters this mindset and this lifestyle of creativity versus, I would say, fast consumption or instant consumption, you know, instead of consumerism, then a couple other episodes to check out. Episode 378, Psychological Reasons Why We Impulse Buy. one of my favorite episodes. And then episode 368, De-influencing Yourself from Social Media with Paige Pritchard, another one of my favorite episodes. Those are both really good. Today, we're talking about not just like the nuts and bolts of not spending, but Miranda, she's a great content creator. She published her book More Than Enough back in 2019. So that's a really good book to read if you want to read about somebody's no shopping, year-long no shopping challenge. And since then, she's created a lot of content about around sustainability, intentionality. She's not a personal finance content creator. She's just got a lot of wisdom on creating space, essentially, by limiting our consumption.
Let's get into it.
Miranda, welcome to the Frugal Friends podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Oh, we are thrilled to have you because we love interviews. It's our favorite. And we're just going to jump right in. You've got so much to share with us and perspective. And so let's get to it. Miranda, can you tell us just a little bit about yourself, your family, and how you then decided to do a 12-month no shopping challenge?
Sure. So I am Miranda Anderson. I'm a mom of three. My kids are now almost 13, almost 11, and 8. I have one lovely husband, two dogs, two cats, six chickens. I now live in Richmond, Virginia. But when we did the shopping challenge back in 2017, we were living in Austin, Texas. And I feel like maybe like a lot of your listeners who get, you know, find their way to this podcast, maybe recognize at some point that they're running on a treadmill that doesn't seem to ever shut off. I was, you know, a young mom. I had a great job. My husband had a good job. We had just gotten out of school and bought a big house with a big yard and felt like we were finally like doing it, checking all those boxes for like adulthood and success. And I got a minivan and I now had like rooms that I didn't have enough furniture for. And I was doing all the things that I was supposed to do in order to feel fulfilled, content, successful, happy, joyful. And while I felt those things sometimes, and you know, a lot of the time, they didn't stem from what, from my circumstances. They didn't stem from my house, from my shoes, from my closet. They stemmed from experiences and from my family and from these small moments. And yet most of my time and energy and money was spent on things meant to make my life better. And I had kind of this aha moment. I have been I've been online for a long time. I was an OG blogger. I started a blog in 2007. It was a hobby for many years. And around a couple years before our no shopping challenge, I had converted my blog into my job and quit my other full-time job. And so I was blogging full-time. And the way that I was making money was through sponsorships. Ironically, one of the third-party sponsors that I had was for an organization store. And my brief was to, I was going to do a whole blog post about how to organize my kitchen cabinets. And so I had a budget of $500 to go to this store and buy baskets and bins and caddies and everything you can imagine. And now there's this really popular Netflix show, right, where they come out with all the stuff. So that was me 10 years ago, right? Come out with all the stuff. And I got into my kitchen and I started pulling things out of my kitchen cabinets and realized I had just spent all of this money and brought these bags of things into my home in order to organize the stuff that I didn't even remember that I had that was buried in these kitchen cabinets. Just clutter, random junk, mail, stuff that I, like party supplies that I had bought for a party that I hadn't yet hosted. And so they were yet unused, even though it had been over a year. Just, I had all this stuff and yet I was just adding to it. And it was like the light switch turned on and I recognized that the habits were not aligned with my values and that that there wasn't really a purpose to the kind of keeping up with the Joneses, keeping up with the Pinterest board. And so that was kind of my moment of, I don't think that I want to keep doing this. This isn't working. What else could we do? And I had just watched a documentary about minimalism. And one of the things that I found the whole thing highly unrelatable, one of the pieces that I really liked was to use what you had. Just use the things that you already have. And so I discussed with my husband this idea, using the things that we already had and not adding to it for the next year. It was January, so it was convenient timing to think like, oh, New Year's resolution. And he was on board. So we embarked on our challenge.
What an amazing timeline and journey. I mean, first of all, wow, to your family rundown. And I love that you specify just one husband in that whole mix.
Yes. That was a very important thing for me to hear.
Yeah, but one's also enough.
The sobering image that I feel I can relate to of going out and getting all of the things, bringing them back into your home. Like, I feel like I can picture you with the excitement. And I think I hear so many people say, oh, wouldn't it just be so great to have tons of money to just go and get all the pretty containers? And you actually had it. You did it. You had $500 to spend, which would be a lot of people's dream to go do that. And then you come back with bags and bags and bags. Just the image feels seared into my mind right now. And then mm-hmm. that realization, like, I'm with you in that aha moment of, I just brought stuff to manage stuff, to keep cleaning my stuff and doing stuff with my stuff. Holy smokes. Right. But then,
yes,
what I think is really interesting about your story, Miranda, is how that realization led you to a 12-month no shopping challenge. I feel like some people could realize that and be like, ha, isn't that funny? I bought stuff to manage my stuff. And then they move on. But you didn't even go to a 1-month challenge. You did the whole 12-month thing. So how did that come about? How'd you get like your dog, 6 cats, 1 husband, 4 children on board with this?
Yeah. So at the time it was just 1 dog along with the children and the husband. So then the chickens are on board for anything,
my
anytime.
Bad.
They're so chill. They're savages, but they're chill.
So, you know, it's so funny because I don't know that I ever even considered that like doing something shorter than a year. And it was probably the hype of being close to the beginning of the year, if I'm being totally honest. Like I've never really thought like, why didn't we do 1 month or 3 months? Like I think I was kind of looking for, as I always am, I'm always fairly goal oriented and I like the idea of progress. And like, I like a project. I like thinking like, what am I going to be tackling this year? What am I looking forward to? So I think because of timing, that's what lent to this idea of a 1 year challenge, because it just made sense. It was January. Let's do this for a year. I think, the other thing is that that's a model that I've seen in a lot of books. And, you know, like I love The Happiness Project by Gretchen Rubin. That's, you know, this 1 year challenge. I had seen other people do, you know, challenges of different sorts for a year, leaving their, you know, turning off their phones for a year or not using the internet for a year or living in an RV for a year, you know, so it just kind of made sense, I guess. I was lucky that my husband was, I mean, at the time, he was home a lot less. He was working a ton at his job. And so I did most of the shopping anyway. So he was like, great, you don't want to shop for a year? Sounds good to me. I mean, I think to him, it was just like, yeah, like, how could I say no to this? My kids were young enough as well that they didn't have, like, we sat them down and had a family conversation about it. I remember saying, when you like for a while, you know, until next January, until after Christmas next year, we're not going to buy any new toys when we go to the store. And we're just going to use the ones that we already have. So if you want a toy and we aren't going to buy a new one, can you think of anything that you could do? And my, you know, at the time, 5-year-old was like, well, we could make a toy. I'm like, yeah, we totally could make a toy. These are my kids that we take them on hikes and they're like playing with rocks and sticks anyway, you know? So I'm like, yeah, we could totally make a toy. And also I'm a crafter. I had been a DIY blogger. And so I have a craft room full of stuff. And we, you know, on odd days, we'd go in and just pull out scraps and make stuff anyway. So making things was not an unusual idea. So it didn't feel like we were on an island. It was like, well, we have a house full of stuff. I think the other thing too, was that I had just organized these cabinets and made them very beautiful with my $500 worth of containers. And I was super conscious of how many things I had in the walls of my house that I hadn't even been thinking about. We had lived in that house at that point for about 3 years and 3.5 years maybe. And I had kitchen cabinets full of things. I had a pantry full of things. I had a home office full of stuff. My kids' closets were full of stuff. My own closet was full of stuff. I had a craft room full of stuff. We had a garage that we didn't park our car in, as many people can relate to. So I think I did a quick walkthrough and was like, what am I buying anyway? Like, what are the things that I'm continually adding to our lives on like a weekly basis, a Target run here or a quick online click of the mouse there? Like, what is this? Where is it all going and why do I need it? And so I think it was different than if we really like had nothing or the bare minimum and was like, oh, we're not going to buy anymore, but we actually don't have any clothes to wear. Like we had plenty, as I assume most people, I don't know, most people probably do, right? Like have enough. And mm-hmm. it's just about deciding that what you have is enough rather than deciding that it isn't.
Yeah. The whole time you're like talking, I'm thinking of the show that you mentioned earlier where they're just organizing all the stuff and how I thought I was going to love that show and it only gave me anxiety. Like, why are you holding on to it? Why do you need to organize it and just shuffle it around? It's like when you consolidate debts and it's like you think you're doing something, but you still have the same amount of debt. You haven't done anything to it except put it in one payment, which for some people makes sense, but like, no, it just, that show gave me so much anxiety.
It's really different to like make things pretty for a while. Cause right. Like once you start using things, then they probably aren't pretty anymore. It's kind of like the beginning of a dinner buffet, at like an all you can eat restaurant. Like it looks really good until one person passes through that line. Yes. And after that, it's over. Right. But the difference between that and actually digging in and deciding what your values are, what matters most to you, how you want to spend your time, money, and energy, and then aligning the choices that you make with those things. And for us, it started with a pause with this. We believe that we have enough. We're going to just make that decision straight off. And it was an experiment. I never went into it thinking like, for sure, no matter what, we're not going to buy anything. I said, we're going to try this. We're going to try to not acquire any new things for the year and see what happens. And maybe we'll go 6 months and realize that it doesn't work, you know, that we do absolutely need more clothes or whatever, but we're going to try and see. And I was overwhelmed by how simple it became. Once I got through the initial discomfort of walking into a store and then walking out with just grocery, like just like food and like, you know, go buy groceries at Target. You always come home with a couple things from the dollar spot and like that cute mug that was on the end cap. And, you know, just coming home with just like milk and eggs and grapes. I was like, this feels a little weird that I didn't even browse to see what else I might want. And then it pretty soon became my norm. And it was so much easier than I expected that it would be.
Yeah, it does take that like decision-making process out of the equation, because you can make your meal plan, you can make your list, but when you go in there and you're just browsing in quotations, like it always could be that you end up bringing something home impulsively. But when you're doing some kind of challenge, which is why we love challenges, and you make the decision to say no to everything or to the things you've already decided on saying no to, it takes that question out so that you don't even are not even tempted to go browse. It's not even an option to look at what you could buy, which really cuts down on like the decision fatigue, because that's when we're tired from making all the decisions is when we make the bad ones.
Oh, really?
So it's what I love about the challenges.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for your challenge specifically, what did it entail? Like I heard you said you bought groceries. What were kind of some of the specific rules for you?
Yeah, so our guidelines were that we weren't going to acquire non-consumable goods. And so on our kind of outline list, that looked like clothes, shoes, furniture, technology, books, toys, recreational equipment, decorations, and anything that wouldn't be used up to completion. We also put like a little caveat in there for like body lotions and perfume and makeup and things like that, that are technically consumable items. But if I had them already that weren't used up, then I had to use them up before I bought new ones. Just to not, like, for me, it was an exercise in, if I feel like shopping, am I going to like go, you know, kind of create a loophole into the non-consumables? And so I just said, I'm just going to blanket, if I have enough shampoo, you know, I'm not going to buy new shampoo until I'm like a couple days out from, until I'm putting water in the bottle type of thing, you know. But we could buy food, of course. We bought like printer paper when the printer ran out of paper and ink, which it did, of course, because printers always run out of ink right when you need them. Replacing light bulbs, replacing like, you know, filters for the car and for the house, basic maintenance stuff. And then when something broke, like if something broke, we could replace it. And also, because we lived in Texas, we had kind of a unique situation where it's a fairly seasonless wardrobe, as I imagine it is where you all live in Florida, where you toss a light sweater over something in the winter. But other than that, like it's, you can kind of wear similar things year round. And so that was true for us and for my kids. I knew, you know, when you have young kids, I'm always buying things like a little big anyway. So I thought, you know, they're going to make it through the end of the year with this stuff, except for shoes. And so we made also the kind of caveat that when they grew out of a pair of shoes, that we could replace them for a similar pair. And sure enough, like within a month or two of beginning the challenge, my middle son grew out of his cowboy boots. We lived in Texas. You cannot be without a pair of cowboy boots. And he had walked through them like a hole in the bottom of them. They were his like daily shoes.
Those boots were made for walking.
Daily shoes.
Whoa. They were his daily cowboy shoes. Boots. Yes.
Okay.
Oh man. If you haven't been to Texas and seen those 5-year-olds walking around in their boots, I mean, it's the cutest thing ever. So we re-upped him. We got him a pair of bigger cowboy boots so he could continue on.
Yes. Oh. Man,
that's amazing.
Wow.
We've been there, done that with overpriced wireless providers and their fine print contracts. But with Mint Mobile, their wireless plans are just $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. That's it. No catch.
Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet, sweet savings directly to you. All plans come with unlimited talk and text, plus high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network.
So you can say bye-bye to that overpriced phone plan you've been using and bring your own phone, your same number, and all your contacts with you right on over to any Mint Mobile plan.
To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/frugal. That's mintmobile.com/frugal. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/frugal. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud. Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less, like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic. Oracle.com/strategic.
You might remember from our budget apps episode, we mentioned Monarch Money as being one of the best apps for people switching from Mint.
Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. Create custom budgets, track progress toward financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/frugal.
The switch from budgeting with Mint to Monarch is easy since Monarch has a tool that allows you to easily import your data from Mint, keeping all of your tags and categories intact. It's also super customizable. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's a top-rated personal finance app.
And right now, listeners on this show will get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/frugal. That's monarchmoney.com/frugal. For your extended 30-day free trial, go to monarchmoney.com/frugal for an extended 30-day free trial. And of course, everyone has to decide what they're going to do, what's going to work for them. I mean, this all sounds very realistic and probably what it produced in all of you, just that creativity and problem solving and all of that. But speaking of, you are definitely obviously quite creative. You've already mentioned a craft room that you had and your kids talking about making their own toys and then passionate about creating. How do you balance or blend or find the intersection between what could be perceived as like opposing energies of creating and consuming? Like, how do you, in this no spend, you know, no shop challenge, how did you reconcile the two, creating and consuming, with like not bringing more in?
Yeah. How can I stop being a craft hoarder? That's the question. Yeah.
Well, I feel like creation and consumption are really opposing energies, and that we get so much well-being from creation. We are creative beings. Humans are creative, and it's something that's innate. Even if you're not a crafter, people like to make things. We like to bring things to life, even ideas or, you know, books, songs, poetry, dinners, like whatever it is. Most people have something that kind of lights them up that is a creative endeavor. And consumption, because of just the ease and the way that we value instantaneous, you know, problem solving and quick conveniences, consumption has kind of overridden a lot of what used to be our opportunities for creation. Most homes used to make food and have a garden, and most people, men and women, knew at least some basic mending and sewing and things like that for their households. I mean, if we go back 100 years, people are chopping wood, people are painting and doing glasswork and doing pottery, functional pottery that they are going to then use in their homes. And there's so many like really beautiful artisan crafts that used to be just part of normal life that are now kind of on the fringes. And while I'm not like a self-proclaimed homesteader by any stretch of the imagination, although I do have chickens, they're laying their own eggs, being creative back there. and we do have a garden. I feel like necessity is this is such a common phrase, but necessity is the mother of invention, right? And when you need something and you don't have an automatic, easy, convenient way to acquire it, your mind goes to work in new ways. So rather than a quick trip to Target, let's take the example of my 5-year-old. 2 weeks after we start our challenge, he says, he remembers this conversation we had, and he's like, "Hey, Mom, I want a new toy." And he's got a toy room with plenty of toys, but I think he was just excited because we had talked about making a toy. And he's like, "Okay, Mom, I want a toy today. Let's make a toy." After school, he came home from preschool. We went into the craft room. I said, "What do you want to make?" And he said, "I want to make a car." So we found some clay. It was like air dry clay, but you could have achieved the same result with Play-Doh or something. It just wouldn't have lasted as long. And we looked up pictures of cars, and he, you know, his cute little 5-year-old hands molded his little car, and we used toothpicks to drill like the hole where you'd put the wheels on. And we spent an hour creating together in a really like low stakes environment because he was 5 and he wanted something for himself to play with. This wasn't going on display. I wasn't trying to sell it on Etsy. It was just a fun interaction with my son. And I recognized that 2 weeks before, if we hadn't made this challenge, that if my son had asked for a car, I probably would have said, "Oh, let's, you know, the next time we're at Target, let's grab a Hot Wheels. You know, it's like $2. It's not like the expense is the problem. The problem is the lack of opportunity to be creative together, the lack of opportunity, like we're starving ourselves of these possibilities of exercising our creativity in really interesting ways. And it was really fun throughout the whole challenge. And, you know, this has become a really fundamental part of our family culture that we exercise our creativity. So we like to make decorations for the holidays. I really don't like to. I have like one little basket of multi-use decorations, like a fabric pennant banner that we put up for Easter, and we put it up for Christmas, and we put it up for birthdays, and we put it up for an anniversary. Like it's the same, you know, it's multicolor. We use it, whatever. But for individual holidays, rather than going and accumulating a bunch of new decorations, we use that as an opportunity to make them. And so, you know, for Easter coming up, we'll paint eggs. And, you know, a lot of people do that. We'll make cookies. We'll, my daughter, I'm sure she loves drawing. So she'll draw pictures and we'll put those up on the windows. And then after the holiday, we just take it all down. We can recycle it. And then we move on. And the next time we have an opportunity to do it again. There's just an interesting, like if you take away, kind of like what you were talking about, Jen, with the decision fatigue, if you take away the opportunity to quickly solve the problem of needing something new, what you do is open up this entire possibility of, if I don't have the quick fix, then how am I going to get there? How do I achieve the same end? And it will always be a creative solution. Because it's not the easy solution. It's always going to be stretching, using what you have on hand, using things in new and different ways.
I love the excitement that you're infusing under the banner of using what we already have. This statement that could feel quite stifling, problematic, a barrier, we won't get what we want, it's going to be frustrating and annoying, and how are we going to do it, to just pure excitement and joy and giving opportunity and space and margin for our creativity to really come alive and blossom, and what that can produce relationally with those in your home and probably for yourself, what it draws to life, what it brings out, what it allows to come to the surface when we don't have the quick fixes immediately available. I love it. The excitement is contagious. Mm.
I was so excited listening to you, because I feel so strongly, like with frugality, that it is not an inconvenience. It's just not the most convenient. It gives you space to think creatively about how to solve your problem without spending money on it immediately. And like, sometimes we do spend money to solve our problems and we do take those quick fixes because it's worth it for our time, but it's not the first immediate response. Like, that's all you have to change up, is that it's just not the immediate response. And a way you can do that is, of course, through a no spend challenge or no shopping challenge, where you kind of train your brain. But like, that's not the ultimate goal. Like, obviously, you went back to shopping and like, we all buy things. That's great. But like, just hearing you, your experience with your son, like we so often miss those opportunities because we are doing something like unproductive that we think is like more efficient. And so, yeah, it was just like beautiful. My heart was singing.
Well, it's so interesting. Kids just so naturally do this. They don't have the option, you know, up to a certain age, they don't really have the option to go to the store and buy things. They don't have access to money. They don't have access to transportation. It's not really part of their worldview, right? So oftentimes you notice kids using things in ways that you've never thought of using them, because all they have, it is pure creativity. It's pure ingenuity. A few weeks ago, we had an 80 degree day here in Richmond, which was unusual for March. And so I took my 8-year-old out of school for the day and we went and spent the day at the beach, and it was so fun. And we got halfway there and I realized, oh, I didn't bring any beach toys. Like, the beach toys are in a bin, but because it was March, I hadn't pulled them out yet. They weren't like easily accessible. So I was like, oh man, I didn't bring the beach toys. That's going to like cut down on how much fun she'll have at the beach. Boy, was I wrong. Like, she doesn't care about having like the plastic beach toy that we collect, you know, that we have in the bin. She used the cans from, we had packed a lunch. She used the cans and the extra like Oreo cookie container. Once the Oreos were gone, that became like a mold for her sandcastle. She was collecting seashells and cigarette butts to decorate her sandcastle, which we had to quickly
maybe not the cigarettes.
Let's leave those ones over there. But just how, like, yes, even for kids, like providing them with, you know, really cute plastic sand toys is easy. That's easy. They see a rake and they're like, oh, rake. But that doesn't mean that they can't use the fork or like the seaweed, you know, those are just like sea branches that work like a rake, you know. It's just fascinating to open our adult selves up to that childlike creativity and that imagination of like, if I didn't have any other option, what would I do here? I wouldn't just be frustrated and cry. I would look around and see what I could use in a new way. And I mean, that's when really exciting things start to happen. That's when fun, that's when you make memories, because you're not doing it the same way that it's always been done. You're doing it in a memorable way, in a different way. And those are things that our families remember. They're things that we remember.
Mm, yes. So how do you see society thwarting our creativity so that we can start to identify like what those triggers are?
Well, I teach craft classes on occasion. And one thing that I think is kind of funny, at the beginning of my classes, I'll often ask how many people have made something recently and not just thought that they made it because they looked at it on Pinterest. And people always kind of laugh, because what Instagram and Pinterest and the internet has done has given us a false sense of like satiating that creative endeavor, that creative drive, by having us see things. We see DIY projects, we see remodel, we see something that we could do, and we consume the story of it, but we haven't actually done anything with our hands. We haven't actually made anything. And so I think separating out how much are we actually consuming, and maybe even, you know, if you're curious, taking an actual inventory for a week, writing down your consumption versus your creation. How much time are you spending scrolling on social media, searching on Pinterest, looking at what's happening in other people's worlds versus building something tangible in your own space? How much time do you spend reading versus writing or journaling? How much time do you spend searching through cookbooks or, again, like on Pinterest for your meal plan, versus actually cooking and enjoying the process of creating those meals? I find a lot of joy, and I think most people do, in the moment of like through the process of creation. In, if you can be mindful in those moments, put your phone aside, you know, turn on some music, light a candle, and like actually allow yourself to be in your body during these creative processes, it changes us. So I think just acknowledging like how much are you consuming versus creating, and think of that as a balance where you, for your well-being, you want your creation, the way that you're bringing things to life in the world, to be greater on a daily basis than your consumption.
Speaking of creating together, something that we get to do every single week.
I will consume this till the end of time and create more of it.
The Bill of the Week.
That's right. It's time for the best minute of your entire week. Maybe a baby was born and his name is William. Maybe you paid off your mortgage. Maybe your car died and you're happy to not have to pay that bill anymore. Duck bills, Buffalo Bills, Bill Clinton. This is the Bill of the Week.
Miranda, every week we ask one of our listeners or our guest to share with us their bill for the week. And we gave you 20 seconds before we started recording to think of yours. So please share with us what you have come up with.
So the very first thing that came to mind is going to sound kind of ironic after we've been talking about my no spend challenge and my no shopping challenge. But I will start by saying that the way that we buy clothes now after our challenge is in what I call capsule shopping. So I shop for clothes twice a year, in the spring and in the fall. And during about a week and a half period, I audit all of my kids' clothes and my own clothes. We decide what they have that still fits, what they need for the upcoming season. I do this, my husband manages his own life, but I do it for myself and for the kids. And then we decide what we need, set a budget for it, and we go do all of the shopping for the whole season for 6 months in about 2 weeks. what this does, I mean, you can imagine all the benefits for it. I have a really clear budget. I'm able to be really thoughtful because I'm just clothes shopping. Like I can shop secondhand. I know that what we're getting. Anyway, there's lots of benefits. So we just wrapped that up a week ago. So now all of my kids and myself, we've got all of our spring, summer clothes. I don't need to think about, talk about, look at clothes again until September. And the one of the last stores that we were shopping at, I had my son and my daughter with me. Normally I do it one-on-one with the kids because they really like the personal focus and we get to, you know, it's a great math exercise for them too because they each get a budget. And then as they choose things, we deduct it and it becomes kind of like a math thing. And so at one of these, I think it probably was the very last store that we were finishing up a couple things. My daughter and I each got a spring dress and my son got a pair of swim trunks that he needed. And we were just kind of finishing. We had five items and they were all 50% off according to the sign on the front of the store. And so I had kind of a rough estimate in my head of like, this is probably going to be around $200 based on what they were. And so the girl rings them all up and then she charges me $550 and I paid the bill. I paid it. And then I'm not really awkward around money. I actually am fine talking about money. I like talking about money. I think it's great. And we all should be more open about it, as you all know, and talk about every single week. And there's something kind of like weird about this moment when you're like, did you make a mistake? Because even though I could pay $550 for these five items, I don't think that I am supposed to, you know? So I said, hey, she's already bagging it and like ready to send me out the door. And I said, hey, could you tell me how we got to that total? And she was like, oh, sure. Let me look. And like, she was on like this little handheld device and she was having a hard time. So she called the manager over and I'm like, oh no, now it's turned into like a thing. And I'm the embarrassing lady at the front of the store that like has a problem with my bill. Well, turns out she had rung me up twice for every single item. And so she was charging me double for every single thing on the list. It wasn't one error. It was the whole thing. And the lady, this is so funny because they talked about it kind of quietly behind the counter. They never like acknowledged that to me. She just said, we're going to refund $315 back onto your credit card. And I was like, oh, great. That sounds more reasonable. I'm doing the math in my head. I'm like, yeah, that ends up around what I expected it to be. And that was very funny that they just, if I had not said anything, she just would have sent me out the store having paid double for every single item in the bag.
Was it user error or was it like computer error?
It was like probably a combination of both. I don't know. She had like a handheld scanner. And so I think it just scanned double. Jeez, but then she didn't, it didn't seem funny to her. I mean, she was just like, oh, that'll be like $1 million for these swim trunks.
Oh, I'm like,
this seems very odd, you know? So
yeah,
my bill was a high bill that then was very happily brought down to a reasonable bill, an expected bill, because I opened my mouth and I'm really glad that I did.
Those handheld point of sale systems. I've got my own story. I won't get into that. I think I said it in a different episode, but something where a button gets pushed and it starts charging you double.
Yeah.
We don't need that, especially not us who we've got budgets and we know how much we're spending on stuff.
Mm-hmm. I was like, how did I so vastly underestimate what's happening here? Like, these swim trunks are lined in gold.
Well, well done.
We got it figured out.
Sticking up for yourself and not paying more than you needed to.
Yeah, that is hard. I always internalize. I was like, oh, I guess I must have made a mistake with how they were priced.
Yeah, yeah. I'm thinking maybe the stickers were like, maybe they didn't take the signage down out front or something. You know, so you have that moment.
Yeah.
I'll examine the receipt in the privacy of my own home because I'm too exposed right now.
Yeah.
It was nice. On the spot. Yeah.
Got it taken care of and finished up, done and dusted. Now I don't have to think about clothes shopping again for another 6 months.
I love that embedded tip. That is perfect. Don't have to take up mental space throughout the year.
It is the best.
Well, if you all who are listening, you've got a bill, whether it's a regular size bill or a double sized bill or a bill that it's too much bill, you need it to be less bill, visit frugalfriendspodcast.com/bill. Leave us your bill. We're here for it. And now it's time for Lightning Round.
Lightning Round. The second half of the show that's slightly shorter than the first half of the show. This is what I'm now going to call the lightning round. That's
Miranda. It's not a very lightning way of saying it.
Title.
I love it.
Nope, it's the opposite. So today's lightning round, we're all going to get a smidge vulnerable, but in like a fun way. So Miranda, you are so creative. And so this episode has been a great mixture of like natural, like traditional creativity, but then also just like getting creative in how we live. So we wanted to like know from all of us, like what's something that you are creating right now that you're excited about? So Miranda, as our guest, you can go first.
Oh, let me think. Well, I have a few things. We recently moved. And so something that I've just been kind of re-outlining for myself is our garden plan. We renovated a house for 4 years and touched every inch of it. It was like so lovely, beautiful garden, great everything. And then we had one of those like flash of lightning, appropriate for the lightning round moments of there's a house down the block that fits our family a little bit better. So all of that happened in the last couple months and I now have no garden and it's April and I'm starting again. So I am in the process of creating a new backyard garden, and I loved the raised bed plans that I did before. I created this a plan where using cedar fence posts, I can build raised garden beds for under $100 each, which is like a third of what they cost if you are using big cedar planks or having someone else build them for you. So that's on my docket this month, getting my cedar beds put in, figuring out exactly what I want to plant to yield the biggest bumper crop out of my 12 square feet of backyard garden. And I just find so much magic in gardening that I didn't even know. So I'm excited about creating a new garden.
Miranda, you speak into my soul right now. Jen's gardening just girl. Over
yeah,
there
to
nodding.
Jill's soul. Yeah, you speak to Jill's soul. I'm here, soul searching.
I'll just go next because I'm already talking. Oh, and that's beautiful, Miranda. I've got so many projects going on constantly. Like, I think I'm breaking my body. I am expecting so much of my body these days. Similarly, I do have a garden, so I love that, and I love visiting it and continuing to chat with all my babies out there.
Those plant babies.
I was
real
hoping
thing.
That you were going to say talk to it because I was do. Like, if you weren't going to say it, I was going to say
they
it.
They need encouragement.
They do. There's real studies about that. It's a real
oh,
thing.
Oh, yeah. And you know, I'm upset with one of my plants and I'm telling it so, and it might not survive because the things I've said. Anyhow, that's not the thing I'm currently creating. Similar to you as well, Miranda, we're under renovations. We have been for 2 years. We probably got like another 10 years ahead of us, but we do all of our own renovations. So it does feel like a really creative endeavor. And the current project right now is a lot of things, but I'll say Airbnb. We're still working on that, but we're getting close to the even more creative stages. Of course, figuring out the layout was a big problem-solving process for us, but I'm getting to the point where I can start to pick out how do I want the tile to look and the coloring and what do we want to make the space for our guests? And that's been fun.
So fun.
Jen?
Yes. Yeah, so hopefully we are undergoing renovations by this time this episode airs. But that's not the one that I'm actually most excited about. We have been working on our virtual summit, our second annual summit. And it's such a joy to create because we get to talk to so many cool people, like doing all the interviews for it. I know a lot of summits are just like people talking over a slideshow, but we love
getting to know people and kind of curating. Like, we've been trying to curate 4 days and 20 talks where it's like you can take a course on controlling your spending and improving your spending over like a full course over 4 days for free. And so to me, it's been so excited to try and innovate in this like online summit space and still like and bring people together in it. So it's, yeah, we're like deep into it and we're very excited for, I'm very excited for it to be, to head into the world at the end of this month.
Jen, awesome. You're very digitally creative. I'm more tactile with my creativity. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I create all the time on the internet. That's like where I find my creativity. So I feel like I don't have an arts and crafts hoard. That's not my thing. But I do know people that do. Like, but if you could hoard digital like crafts, like I would have a lot
like of websites. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, yes. Websites, articles. Like every, oh my gosh, I would be a hoarder for sure. Tabs. You could, if tabs, so many tabs didn't go away, I'd have a lot of tabs.
I've never figured out the tabs, people. I feel like
the tabs
have like maybe 3 at a time and I close the browser at the end of every browsing session. Like it's gone 100% out. Mm-mm. And then I have friends that like, I don't know how you keep track though.
We don't.
You don't.
You're in it a lot. It's the anxiety that keeps you moving.
What about the history, though? Can't you use your history?
I do. Still do that. Sometimes you close the tab too early and you're like, man, I needed that tab still, but I have 20 others open.
I'm curious if this is totally off subject, but if your tabs correlate to your notifications like on text or on email or anything else, like do you clear the inbox and clear the texts out and stuff like that, or do you have badges that tell you how many unread are happening at any given point?
So I have muted all of my notifications and all my badges, and I just ignore the fact that I have over 2,000 unread emails.
I'm gonna have a heart palpitation
on my personal inbox. I have, for my business inbox, I for sure have an assistant who like keeps us an inbox zero. But yeah, my personal email inbox is quite overwhelming. Okay. And I still have Unroll Me, which is like a thing that you can, roll up a bunch of promotional emails. I have that.
And it still keeps coming.
Here we
are. Well, Miranda, if someone wants you to be one of their tabs in their life, on their computer, on their phone, where can they get more from you?
Yeah, well, I have a weekly podcast all about intentional living. It's called Live Free Creative. It comes out Thursday mornings at 6 a.m. Eastern. And the show helps people live more aligned with their values, live on purpose. So touches a little bit on frugality, but mostly on all different aspects of living aligned with the things that matter most to you. And I'm online on Instagram at Live Free Miranda. Occasionally, I've found a positive correlation with the amount of time I spend off of Instagram and my life satisfaction. So I check in a couple times a week. And then I have a book. I wrote a book about our year-long challenge and published a couple years ago. It's called More Than Enough. And that's available on my website, livefreecreative.co, and on Amazon. Yeah. So those are the places I'm mostly, my favorite thing, as you all could attest to, I'm sure, my favorite thing is the podcast and being able to have a weekly chat with people and show up there, talk about things that are interesting. So that's my favorite place to create is my Live Free Creative podcast.
Awesome. Well, thanks again, Miranda, for coming on the show. And we can't wait to talk to you again one day.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me.
I hope that you found that interview as inspiring as we did 2 years ago.
I still remembering back to this conversation that we had and some of the nuggets and just the highlight. I know that we've talked about creativity, but the way that she described it resonated with me in a really beautiful way.
Yeah.
I'm curious though, Jen, we've kind of switched roles Only yeah, slightly. What in that lightning round, what we're creating now and what we're excited about. And I was in the midst of renovations. I'm pretty much wrapped up, but you are thick yeah. in the midst of renovations.
Yeah.
The summit is not something we're doing. If you did listen to Jen's, you know, vulnerability round.
You might remember from our budget apps episode, we mentioned Monarch Money as being one of the best apps for people switching from Mint.
Monarch is the top rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. Create custom budgets, track progress toward financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/frugal.
The switch from budgeting with Mint to Monarch is easy since Monarch has a tool that allows you to easily import your data from Mint, keeping all of your tags and categories intact. It's also super customizable. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's a top-rated personal finance app.
And right now, listeners on this show will get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/frugal. That's monarchmoney.com/frugal. For your extended 30-day free trial, go to monarchmoney.com/frugal for an extended 30-day free trial.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
That's not happening right now. Maybe again in the future.
In a different way. We're contemplating bringing it back in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, I would say in that season, honestly, I was doing too many things all at once. And that's why the thing on top of it, or the thing that was most timely, was definitely, you know, that was the top on my mind. Behind the scenes, I was real stressed.
Yeah, but it did. I mean, it did implement a lot of creativity and it was very well received. We've had people ask mm-hmm. about the next one and we love being creative with it. It's mm-hmm. really not rinse and repeat. Other than the template for our podcast episodes, that one is rinse and repeat. Since day one, we've had that bill of the week. So
yeah, but we are now getting creative with renovations and now you're getting creative with, I don't know what you're getting creative
the
with.
The friend letter has the friend been letter. A very fun outlet for me and both of us writing this book is stressful.
I read these things and I see stress, but really the question was what we're creating that we're excited about.
I am excited about it.
Yeah, same. The book is a labor of true love.
Thanks everyone for listening. You know this already. You know what I'm about to say. We have a newsletter. It's called The Friend Letter. It goes out 3 times a week. So Monday, Wednesday, Friday, you're getting something in your inbox. But again, we're not rinse and repeat. Monday is different from Wednesday, is different from Friday. So one of the emails is giving you all the freebies for the week. The other one's talking about savings tips. The other one's talking about life hacks, money mindset stuff, prompts for you to consider. We're giving you things to meal plan and prep over the weekend. We're at the end of the month, we give you a budget toolkit. Like, it's chock full.
How much does this cost?
It's free, Jen.
What?
You know it's free. frugalfriendspodcast.com. But we also, with this email, you can respond to the email and it comes straight to us because we're not a large machine over here. And we got this beautiful email that we want to highlight from Christina, who said, "Thank you, friends, for offering this no spend January. I noticed that my debits in my checking account go mostly bills, utilities, mortgage, and less to Kroger and Aldi. When I also noticed that I generate less trash waste and less recycling waste. Lastly, I made three big new-to-me meals using food I had in my freezer and pantry. I am doing a no-spend February now. Thanks again for all you do." These are some huge wins.
You guys, I love reading these emails. And some of them I catch in my inbox. Mostly Goldie catches them and sends them to me this way. But man, I love them. Keep them coming.
Yeah.
I am so grateful that you guys are changing your lives as a result of these small little actions.
Well done, Christina. And again, if you want in on this action, frugalfriendspodcast.com. See you later.
Frugal Friends is produced by Eric Sirianni.
Jill,
mm-hmm.
What will you be doing for spring break? Seeing as we kind of get the week off of work, I have the week off of work. Well, you don't really get the week off.
Oh, no break. No rest for the weary.
I get the week off.
I am head in the sand writing our book, but also my mom's going to be here.
She's going to be here.
I'll take her to St. Pete Beach. I'll show her all the drunken 20-something.
Good luck finding parking. That's all I have to say.
I do think she was here around spring break at some point in the past, and we just Ubered.
We accidentally went to the beach forgetting that it was spring break once.
Yeah.
And we just turned around. We just turned around.
So what are you doing? Your boys are off of school and daycare. What will it mean?
Well, I am going to go and head to the library and see what tickets they have available.
Mm-hmm. And for those who are still with us long enough to be a part of this after show, but still don't know about the library, what does that mean?
So the library offers free tickets to places and you just got to reserve them. You usually get four passes. They're good for a week. And so we will head down there, see what they have. Our library has a couple children's museums, so I'm hoping we snab one of those because they're not into art.
Can you put your name on a list for like renting it out at a certain point?
No, that's the bad thing. You have to go in person. You can't reserve them online and just see what they have available.
Yeah.
So that is the difficulty in that. But we're going to maybe head to, so I will only have Kai. Atlas will thankfully still be in daycare. So mommy and Kai will just have like a week.
Oh, that's so fun.
Yeah, just doing stuff.
Yeah, when does he get one-on-one time with you? That's so special.
Mm-hmm. Every day. He actually gets it every day.
You're like, because I am a good mom.
No, because I pick him up from school before I pick up Atlas. So.
How much time do you have with him in between getting him and then getting
I pick him up at 2:30 and then I pick Atlas up at like maybe 5. So two and a half hours.
I didn't realize that.
But Travis gets home around 3:30. So one-on-one, we have about an hour.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's cool. Wow. Yeah. What a hack.
What? A hack. But no, I'm looking forward to my week off with my 4-year-old.
Mm.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit RightRug.com. That's RiteRug.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.